We're so glad you've made the choice to join us today as we dig into the Word of God. This is Debbie Kiever, and I'm here with my friend Laura Pereno. So sit back, and we encourage you to join us in the conversation. Well, Laura, you and I are jumping into our May-long series called A Timely Word, which is using the Reads Bible Study tool, which is you can learn about it in episode 92. It's a simple tool for how to handle accurately the written Word of God, and then spend time listening to the Holy Spirit speak to you a rhema word, which is R-H-E-M-A. It's the utterance of God. When he says, look, Debbie, this is what you need for your life right at this moment. And we are looking at a passage about a famous mother in the Bible since we've just passed Mother's Day. What a great time to just reflect on, God, is there anything you want to speak to me about a mother in the Bible? So open your Bibles, everybody, to 1 Samuel 1. This is the very phenomenal mother, Hannah, that we know gives birth to a prophet of God named Samuel. So, Laura, maybe just jump in and give us a little bit of overview of the story in case folks are not familiar, and then we'll jump into sharing about the reads.
Yeah, well, 1 Samuel 1 is a story that many of us have cried out and prayed, you know, when we are in a place of perhaps wanting God to start building a family through us and not seeing that come to pass. And so I am one of those women, and experiencing that and reading Hannah's story always brought me, I don't want to use the word just comfort, but almost like, I mean, I've never met Hannah, but somebody got it. Somebody knew what I was talking about, and somebody was crying those same tears. And so I've always loved this passage. And so maybe even, you know, regardless of where you are in your story with parenting, if you're a mom or you want to be a mom, you know, Mother's Day can be hard, right? When you're in this situation. And so just coming off Mother's Day, we see this woman who is experiencing that pain. And so she is at the temple, and she just starts praying because she desires God to give her a child. And I think we'll pick it up there, Deb.
All right. So again, we said when you read the passage, you're inviting the Holy Spirit to draw your attention to some part. You know, where is it, God, that you want to take me today to study? And I'll tell you that what I could not shake, the teaching part for me came in verses 12 to 16. So let me just read that portion, because that's where I'll be sharing what the Lord gave me. As she kept praying to the Lord, now granted, she comes and they go to make their annual prayer and sacrifice, and Eli is the priest. So this is where we're picking into it. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Oh, not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I've poured out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and my grief. So for me, that's where I sat. Where did you end up falling?
Well, I ended up actually right after that. So, shortly after that, but I really sat at verses 21 to 28. And it says, this is after the conversation that you were just discussing. Hannah has been told that she's going to have a baby. When Elkanah went up with his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and fulfill his vow, Hannah didn't go. She said to her husband, after the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will there live there always. So now there's a baby on the scene. Samuel has been born. And the husband says, do what is best for you. Stay here until you've weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word. So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. And after he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the Lord to they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, pardon me, my Lord, as surely as you live, and this is it right here, I am the woman. I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life, he'll be given over to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there.
So now we look at our portion of scripture gets more narrow, and that's where you might look at word studies or a little bit more like what was it like on those festivals, however the Holy Spirit takes you. But for me, when you look at reads, READS, the examine part is where you're studying specific words. Laura, I started seeing things. So like my S started becoming where I saw first. And I was very focused on just a broken Hannah, oblivious to everybody else around her. And it's describing that her mouth was moving, her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. She was praying in her heart, but her lips were moving. So I just was focused on, like, and I worked in a medical facility for 30 years. And sometimes when people are battling extreme mental illness, their lips are moving, but nothing audible is coming out. And some of it's related to their mental illness. It might be related to some of the drugs that they're put on, to try to manage it. So my mind started going back to that appearance of someone who's oblivious to what's around them. They're so focused on, like, in their internal struggle that their lips are moving, but nothing looks like it's making sense. And you can make an assumption about that, right? So that was my experience working in a hospital. So my C, I was like, God, what are you showing me? And I just wrote this. I see Hannah like she's been sucker punched by an external circumstance. Hannah is bent over. She can't catch her breath. She's unable to stand up or move forward, and her lips are murmuring. That's what I'm seeing. I was very focused on that. So that, in a nutshell, was when I start looking at the grief side, what her appearance looked like. That's what I was focused on. So.
Good stuff, Debbie. Good stuff. I love how God speaks such different words, but of course we're on different parts of the passage too. But I love that. I really was focused on that phrase, I am the woman. And yeah, so let's just take all this all the way through as I share everything about the exam and other things that listen, I am the woman, right? And you are the woman. And what kind of woman do we want to be? Let's just put that there. But we shared the backstory of chapter one, and Deb just went deeper into it. The one thing I left out, which is really the key piece of the story here when I was reviewing the chapter, is as Hannah's crying out in her grief and her lips are moving, but no words are coming out. That is actually, that is key, Deb. No words are coming out. Okay. And what does she tell the Lord? She tells the Lord, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you. Eli's there. No words are coming out. So has Eli heard? If she gets, has Eli heard, A, she wants a son? No. Has Eli heard, I'll give him back to the Lord? No. Eli has heard nothing about what is going on. And like you said, he thinks that she's drunk. And so she has said to God, if you give me a son, I will give him to the Lord. And Eli doesn't know anything about what's going down. He just says, whatever it is that you're asking for, I pray that you get it, right? So it's so interesting because now this takes me to this verse where it says, I am the woman, because at this point, she has had the son. And it says that this is years later. She has had the son and she goes back to Eli and she has to say to him, I am the woman. I'm going to give my son for full temple service. I am the woman that you saw. And this is what I was praying that day. And this is what I have to do because God heard. Now, I love it because Eli says, may God give you what you've asked of from him. But listen, that's what Samuel means. Samuel means I asked of the Lord. So there's also something super prophetic in there too. But she comes to Eli. Eli does not have any idea who this woman is when she comes up. She's not grieving anymore. She doesn't look like she's drunk. She's a young mom with a little boy. He could have walked by her and never known that she was the one he was praying with or that she had made a commitment to God to do something very significant and very painful. And yet, this woman, goes and does the thing that she told God that she was going to do. That hit me when I was reading this. In all my times of reading this story or thinking about this story, I'm thinking that she's like, yes, and I want a son. And if God gives me a son, then I'm going to do this. And so Eli's been waiting around for that son to come, right? Where's this little boy? He's coming. Eli had no idea, but she did. And she followed through with her word, even though nobody knew what she had promised to God. I mean, that is so amazing. Now, Samuel's perspective on this, he's just a little boy at the time, but as he grew up and we know the ministry that he had as he was, so amazing and instrumental in the word, listen, he saw and he understood the story that his mom kept a promise to the Lord, even when no one would have known if she didn't, except for God. So the image, the picture that Hannah lived out in front of her son, I mean, to me, I'd like to say I am the woman. I would like to say that I will be the woman, really, who will stand there too and say, I am the one who said, even though it cost me.
And just think of how desperately you wanted that
Oh my
child,
goodness. Oh my goodness.
and now I have to give that child up.
Yeah.
I'm sure it had to have crossed her mind.
Oh.
I'm sure it had to cross her mind. We'll just put it off a little longer,
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm back to the mumbling, no words. Eli's accusing her, right, of being drunk, and it could not be farther from the truth about what's in her heart. So the A in reads is application. It's very short. It's what do I need to remember based on what you just drew my attention to? So I wrote, I need to remember to not base an opinion about someone's attitude, their heart condition, on what I see on the outside. God sees their heart, and I need to seek his perspective first. And there's something I missed sharing in the examine part was that it was a religious leader that didn't get it. It was the pastor, right? It was the Bible study teacher. It was this priest that missed and made an assumption and was accusatory. So that's an important piece there. So for me, as a Bible study leader, as a pastor, I need to, as a pastor, right? I need to remember not to base an opinion about somebody's attitude, heart condition, or what I see on the outside. God sees the heart, and I need to seek his perspective first. And I think that's an important piece,
Amen.
is that you and I are both in that same boat as pastors. Eli was, and he missed
Yes,
it.
that's right.
So what was
That's
your
right.
application?
I need to remember that holiness and obedience in my words and actions toward God will impact my future generations.
So
That is what I need to remember.
then
Yeah,
we
go
ask the
ahead.
Lord dialogue-wise, what do you want to say to me, Father? This is where it's the rhema word, right? It's the timely word for us at the moment. And you just write down what you see or what you're hearing. So all right, Debbie, I want to remind you that Eli was a pastor in his day. He was a priest. He had protocols to protect in the setting of worship. Right? There were a lot of rules about behaviors. Protocols should never drive ministry. My spirit needs to be what is driving ministry. My heart for people, all people. Those who fit the protocol and those who don't. So always seek my Holy Spirit for discernment when someone comes to you, whether over coffee or in Bible study or at church, regardless of how they present. Do not let your opinion drive what you're seeing on the outside, but rather what I reveal to you.
Amen. Good stuff. I think we all need to remember that, honestly.
Right, but this was my special word for me.
Yes.
You
Can you
can
share
borrow
your word? Thank you.
it.
So mine was Laura. I need you to remember that owning up to your word, even when others don't know what you've spoken, will always lead to hearing. Be the woman who makes a vow and keeps it. Generations to come will follow because you did. And then he really highlighted these phrases right from the word. Because it says that Hannah stood, Hannah prayed, God granted, Hannah gave. Those are the verbs in that one passage. And so I felt God was, putting on my heart, like, I stood here, I prayed, God granted, I gave, right? And so it was be the woman who stands, prays, And when God does what he's going to do, you give. Now, it will lead to worship because the last verse here is, and he, Samuel, worshiped the Lord there. It will lead to worship. And God brought to my mind a story. That's what I wrote next, which was the next one that we will. Oh, you already did your C.
I did my
Oh,
C.
well, there we go. Then I'll just keep going. I'm reading right from my
Go
journal
for
now.
it.
Okay, so I saw God brought me back to a memory, which is really pretty significant. We are actually recording on April 16th, and April 15th is a significant day for our family. But I saw this, I honestly, yesterday was our cat Tortilla's birthday, who passed last July. And the Lord just brought a picture of her to my mind when I was asking the Lord what this looks like. And so, to make a very long story very short, we were in Cabo in 2009, and I was taking a walk, and I saw a 1.5 pound cat who was, covered with bugs and all this stuff, and brought it home. Dan said that we couldn't bring it home because we already had two cats. I don't know where that comes from. There's no rule against how many cats you can have in the Prano family. But we took her to the Humane Society where they took care of her, and Dan started to try to find a home for her. And one woman said, I will call you back. If my mother says I can keep the cat, then I will. And all week long, we were there, and the cat was at the Humane Society. And we hadn't heard from this woman named Anna that she was going to be taking the cat. And so the Humane Society called and said we could come and get Tort. Well, she didn't have a name yet. We could come and get the cat. And so right as we all got in the car to go get the cat, because now Emily's in fourth grade, she is so crazy excited to take this cat home. I'm a cat lover. I'm over the moon. And Dan was super excited too. We get in our car, our rental car. We start headed to the Humane Society in Cabo, and the phone rings. And it's Anna. And she says, my mom has let me know that I can have the cat. And immediately I heard Dan say, okay, you can have the cat. And when he hung up the phone, we all start to cry because what do you mean she can have the cat? What do you mean? You just told us we can have the cat. We love this cat. She didn't call back in time, all this kind of stuff, And he said, I am a man of my word. I told her that she could have the cat, and I am not going back on what I said. So we are crying, and something dropped on my heart that Anna had not yet seen this cat, and there were other cats at the Humane Society, and we could go get another cat and give that cat to Anna, and we could have this cat. So I quickly said that. I was like, but wait a minute, we can get her another cat and we can take this cat with us. And he said, I will call her and I will tell her your idea. And if she is okay with that, then we will do it. But I'm a man of my word. So he called
Wow.
back Anna, and Anna said, A, you don't have to do anything for me, but if you would like to basically rescue another cat, I will take another cat. I don't have to have the cat that you all found. So, long story short, we got the original cat. Emily went to the pound and found another cat to give to Anna. Anna came over to meet the cat, named her Lola. And that day, two little cats got a home because Dan kept his word. And so I just was reminded of that story, and our cat just passed, and we loved Tortilla so much, and the joy that Tortilla brought to our family, the joy that we know Lola brought to this other family, and the way two cats got a home because someone kept their word. I just feel like that was this. It impacted generations because just yesterday when we were talking about the birthday, my granddaughter was saying, "Well, where is TT right now? Where's Tortilla?" And I said she was celebrating her birthday with Jesus. So, it's open conversation for more things about heaven and eternity. But anyway, that's my story there. That's what I saw was Tortilla, and God brought back to mind that story. That's the woman I want to be. I want to respond like my husband did in that story, like Hannah did in that story. So
Well, your kids see
pretty
it.
cool.
Your kids and your grandchildren see it. And especially when you say something like, I'm a person of my word. And
When it hurts.
yes. And when nobody would know.
Nobody would have known
When
if we
nobody will know,
just,
just switch out a cat, you know. I had an experience again. I'm literally sharing this reads with my husband because it was just, we're just talking about the podcast and what God is stirring in my heart. And we were sitting at a red light, and there is a guy with a sign, right? And he's doing some dramatic theater stuff of looking like he's going to bend over and fall over. His mouth is mumbling. Nobody can hear him. And he's begging, right? And we're watching, and he's kind of crumpling over. And then when nobody is moving towards him, like money out the window, he drops his sign, he picks it up, stands right up, looks at everybody like he's suddenly, I can stand very well now, all of a sudden, flips his sign the right way. And the Lord's like, and what did you just say in your heart? Right? He's faking. He's like, you do not know his story. So it's like, oh my gosh, I'm just telling my husband about this mumbling man. And there's a mumbling man 10 feet from me. And God was like, you do not know his story.
That's right. That's
So
right. You don't.
this is a
That's right.
personal thing, right? This is where God takes a scripture you've read, how many times taught, you and I both taught on Hannah before, and just again, another deep dive. So
Yeah, amen.
that's our sharings from this week, from 1 Samuel 1. Join us next week. We're going to be taking a look at yet another passage of scripture that deals with transition. You know, like this is the month where people graduate from college and the birdie flies out of the nest. And so we're going to be taking a look with in the Gospels where Jesus is starting to launch some disciples and other followers. They test the waters, go out there and try to do some of the things that I'm doing. So,
Amen.
oh, it's been a fun day, Laura.
It has been. It has been. Well, thanks for being with us today. Open up your Bibles in the morning and check out episode 92. Do some reads. See what God has to say, because it's always different than you thought it was going to be. For me, it sure was. So thanks for being a part, and take care. We'll see you.
Bye-bye.
We hope that this episode encouraged your heart, that it deepened your understanding of scripture, and that it made you thirst for the more that God has specifically for you. If you've been blessed today by what you heard, would you please share this episode with your community of friends as we seek to spread the good news of Jesus Christ and build the community of faith here at Beyond the Building.